Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have made your light shine in this world of darkness when your Son, Jesus Christ, was born into this world to save us. We ask you now to enlighten our hearts by your word of grace as we come before you in worship and praise. Fill our hearts with your love and your grace, and give us the confidence of your continued presence. In Jesus' saving name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is, O God of God, O Light of Light. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives us his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who's begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, you know that we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. One of the themes of our scripture readings and our sermon text for today is light, and the comparison the Bible makes with Jesus being the light and even the Word being light. We hear of a prophecy in our scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 9 that speaks of a great light shining on those who dwell in darkness. That great light, of course, is a prophecy about Jesus. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for the land that was in anguish. In former times, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will cause it to be glorious. Along the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you like the joy at harvest time, like the celebration when people divide the plunder. For you have shattered the yoke that burdened them. You have broken the bar on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor, as you did in the day of Midian. Our second reading for today is from John chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is not only compared to light in many parts of the Gospel of John, including this one, he's also called in this section the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light, so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood, nor of the desire of the flesh, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory he has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on pages 6 and 7 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Light of Light, O Soul Begotten. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 4. We'll read verses 12 through 17 and verse 23. When Jesus heard that John, and it's referring here to John the Baptist, was put in prison, he withdrew into Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. He did this to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And this is a quote from our scripture reading from earlier. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And on those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near." And then verse 23 says, Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever thought about the importance of light? How many moments have you spent today being grateful for the existence of light in the world? Maybe you did. Maybe you woke up this morning in darkness and were grateful that you were able to turn on a light to be able to see where you were going. Maybe you were grateful this week for the prolonged stretch of sunshine we've had after so many weeks of darkish, cloudy, rainy days. And you know how we are here in California. We get 2 days of clouds and rain and we're about ready to lose our minds. Light is important. In fact, light is essential. Yet light is also present in our lives that in such a great degree that we often don't even think about it. We don't appreciate it. We might not even realize that light is there. As we come to today's sermon in our Epiphany series on what various gospel texts reveal to us about Jesus, we come to a very familiar and very appropriate comparison of Jesus found in the Gospels. In our text, in our Old Testament reading for today, Jesus is prophesied as being a great light. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. What does this expression and comparison of Jesus reveal to us about Jesus? That's been our question each of the Sundays in Epiphany. Well, let's think about a couple of things that light does, important things that light does. First of all, light reveals things. It makes things able to be seen. That's probably the first thing that comes to mind when we think about light. Well, that comparison works perfectly for Jesus. Jesus is the great light spoken of in our text. He is the light of the world that John speaks of. He reveals things to us. And so, as funny as this may sound, the first thing that this text reveals to us about Jesus is this. It reveals that Jesus reveals. Does that make sense? This text reveals that Jesus reveals. He reveals eternally important things. He is the revealer of truth, truth with a capital T. He is the revealer of God, who God is, what He's like, what He does. And He is the revealer of the way to eternal life, namely through Him. As Jesus Himself once said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the one who reveals those things, just like light. Don't we see Jesus doing exactly this in our text? Our text for today speaks of people who were dwelling in darkness, a darkness that is far more frightening and more dangerous than physical darkness, even the deepest physical darkness we could ever experience. The darkness spoken of here and in other places in Scripture refers to the darkness of sin, of unbelief, and death, not just the physical kind, the eternal and spiritual kind. Our text tells us that Jesus came not as a little light. A little light, of course, can be very comforting and helpful in the midst of pitch black, deep darkness. But no, our text tells us he comes as a great light, a light that completely eradicated the darkness. He came as the light of the world. And Jesus tells us again in the Gospel of John, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, think of what a great comparison light is to Jesus. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. When you walk into a dark room, no matter how dark that room is, when you turn on the light, it is no longer dark. The deepest, darkest cave or room you could be in, you turn the light on, it is no longer dark. That's what God did, in a sense, when he sent Jesus into our world. In our gospel reading from the first chapter of John, we read that in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In fact, the complete opposite happened. The light overcame the darkness. Where Jesus, the light of the world, is, there can be no darkness. Jesus overpowers it. Where there is Jesus, there is forgiveness, there's healing, and there is life. And Jesus came as the light of the world, and he's called the light of the world because it means he came to spread this light and shine it on the world, on all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. Our text tells us that from that time Jesus began to preach, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Remember, the text mentioned that this was a region that was at least partially filled, or if not mostly filled, with Gentiles. People who are not of the Jewish race, of God's chosen Old Testament people. Jesus came to be a light not just to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles. What was Jesus' message as he came as the light of the world? What did he come to reveal? Well, he came preaching a message of repentance, a turning away from sin and turning to him for forgiveness and life. Jesus came preaching and revealing the gospel, which literally means the good news. He came revealing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the good news that he revealed was about himself, that he, the Son of God, had come to be the Savior from sin for both Jews and Gentiles. He, of course, would not just preach that good news, he would complete that good news by later suffering and dying on the cross for the sins of all people, and then rising victoriously from the dead 3 days later. Notice that Jesus came to be a light for the people amidst the darkness, not just spiritually. Our text also mentions that Jesus was brought into this world filled with sin to relieve people of even their physical darknesses. The last verse of our text tells us Jesus went about healing every disease and every sickness among the people. He cares about us in every way. He came to heal and to save. He came, of course, to heal, most importantly, spiritually and eternally, but he also shows his care and love for us by coming to heal physically as well. those who know much more about science than I do, which is nearly everyone, but people who know more about science than I do have told me that light is not just important, it is actually essential for life to exist at all. And it's been said that it's not surprising that the first thing that God created was light. Think of the very first chapter of the Bible, verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It is essential for all creation. And so light not only reveals, it gives life. Think of the sun. Think of not just how important the sun is, but how essential the sun is to all living things, the growth of living things on this planet. This points to the second thing that our text reveals about Jesus. It reveals that Jesus, as the light of the world, Jesus gives life. Our text reveals that Jesus, the light of the world, gives life. Remember those words again from John chapter 1 that we read in our gospel reading. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Remember Jesus' words in the Gospel of John. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you've ever been in a place of complete darkness, and I mean complete darkness, can't see your hand in front of your face type of darkness, you know how scary that can be. It can be very unsettling to be in a place like that. I can say for certain that all of us have been in a place like that. In fact, everyone who's been born into this world has. All of us, by nature, are like the people in the region of Galilee described in our text. We were born as people dwelling in darkness, not necessarily the physical kind, but spiritual darkness. The spiritual darkness where you can't see your hand in front of your face in a spiritual sense. Dwelling in the region and shadow of death, as our text puts it. We were born lost. In complete and utter darkness, unable to find our way. Born in sin, born in unbelief, and headed for the eternal darkness of eternal death in hell. That is, until Jesus, the light of the world, dawned on us. Jesus has taken us from the darkness of death and given us the light of life in him. And he comes to us personally, and has come to us personally, revealing the light of his world, of his word. He calls each of us to repent from our sins, to turn to him instead for forgiveness, and in faith trust that he is our Savior who's washed away every one of those sins. He comes to us in the miracle of the sacraments, which is his word with earthly elements, the water and word of baptism in which he made us his own. In the word and the bread and wine, he comes to us with his very body and blood, assuring us, reminding us personally that your sins, each and every one of them, have been forgiven by Jesus. And he still heals us from our sicknesses. He cares about our physical needs. He comforts our troubled hearts with the promises of his word. Now that we've had the rays of the sun, the S-O-N sun, the light of this world, shine upon our hearts, something amazing has happened to us who have once been dwellers in the darkness. Jesus has made us now, as he puts it, lights in this world. Lights in a world filled with darkness. In Matthew, he says, "You are the light of the world." Jesus wants us to be reflections of his light and to point people to Jesus, that great light, the light of the world. I don't think I need to give you many reminders just how dark a place this world is. We will be reminded of some of the darkness in this world in our prayer requests for today. This world is a dark place spiritually and physically. It often feels much like the region spoken about in our text, darkness and in the shadow of death. At times we can be overwhelmed by this great darkness. At times we may even be tempted to despair because our light seems way too small. Our light even collectively as a congregation can seem too small. But remember that in complete darkness, even a little light makes a huge difference. In complete darkness, that's when light shines the brightest. That's why God encourages us throughout the New Testament to let Christ's light shine in our lives. Jesus goes on to say in that very same chapter of Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The Apostle Paul also reminds us in Ephesians, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk," or live, "as children of light." And the Apostle Peter tells us that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may proclaim the praises of him, of God. We all know people who are still living in the darkness without the light of the world, Jesus Christ, in their lives, without his gospel, his good news shining on their hearts. In his grace, he has revealed the light of his salvation to you and to me. And he wants us to share that light and let our light shine to his glory. Where Jesus is, there can be no darkness. Let's share and shine that light of the world to the world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, "O Christ, our true and only light." Please rise. In our prayers for today, we bring prayers to our Father's throne of mercy for those who suffered the loss of loved ones in the mass shootings that took place both in Southern California and more close to home in Half Moon Bay over the past week or so. Are there any other prayer requests to bring to our Father's throne today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness of sin, death, and unbelief in this world. We ask that you would shine your light and give your healing and blessings on the families and loved ones of the victims of the shootings in both Southern California and in Half Moon Bay. We are again shocked and saddened by the reports of what was done, and we have a hard time understanding why. We find ourselves at a loss for what to do and what to say. In the midst of these unspeakable and horrible evils, we know that you are still God. We are reminded by your word that you are still in control. We pray that you would cause those who lost loved ones in these horrific acts to turn to you for comfort, for strength, for healing. And may they find in you their eternal salvation and a loving Heavenly Father who will turn this evil to work your gracious good as you've promised. Cause this tragedy to move all of our hearts to look once again to you, dear Jesus, and to see with renewed eyes and hearts that you came to this earth to bring peace, true peace, spiritually and eternally, to our world that is so full of violence, unrest, evil, and death. Help all of us to see this tragic event as another reason to long for the day you come again to take us from this world of sin and sorrow to our heavenly home of endless joy and peace. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Merciful Savior, we confess that we often neglect to commit our needs to you in prayer, as well as the many things that trouble us and burden our hearts and souls. We confess that we often make errors of judgment simply because we fail to seek your good counsel. How often we neglect to express our thanks and praise for all your benefits. And because of our thoughtlessness, we often ask you for foolish and hurtful things. We ask you to forgive us all our sins. We ask you to guide us and teach us always and lead us in the way everlasting. Bless and keep all of us today and our families in your saving care. We ask these things in your name, dear Jesus, the light of the world. And in your name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is "The People That in Darkness Sat." We will invite you to rise for the last verse of that hymn.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements. First of all, following our service today, we'll be meeting in the Fellowship Hall for our voters' annual meeting. We will begin that as quickly as possible after the service today. It is a bit of a tight schedule for me to get to Hayward after one of these meetings, so we'll do as the best I can to stay for as long as I can. I invite you to meet us in there at as close to 11 as we can. And for our voters, obviously, we encourage you to attend and participate, but the congregation is invited to attend the meeting as well, and we'd actually like your input on a couple of things. There is some ballots in the front of the church for the paint colors on the accent wall, both in the entryway and in the fellowship hall. So if you would please fill out one ballot each and tell us which color you prefer for both of those accent walls. We'll also be doing a little bit of discussing in the meeting today about what to do with the funds that we have from the mobile home sale that happened in August. So please stay for the meeting if you're able. At the very least, fill out the paint ballot and hand it to either Michael Slattengren or to Scott. There's a little basket for the completed ballots in the entryway. This week, Tuesday, I'll be heading to Stockton for our worship service at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m. and then visiting the Sacramento folks at Forever Easter House at 4:30 on Tuesday. As a general heads up and information, we will be having a work day. We're planning to have a work day next Saturday. We're doing some prep work for the painting that's going to start next weekend that, Lord willing, will be completed before the new flooring comes in. A timeline for the dates of those things, the flooring is scheduled for the 21st through the 25th of February. So we need to get things painted and kind of set up before then. You may have noticed there's a few things missing from the entryway and the fellowship hall. We are doing some remodeling as well, so some things are gone. They will be, depending on what we decide to do, replaced with other things. But we thank the Lord that we've been able to get so much work done before we even started the pre-getting work done work. So thanks to those who have helped with that prep work as well. If you did not notice, we have a pretty good-sized feature article for our congregations and schools in the latest Lutheran Spokesman. I left a copy on the table in the entryway open to the two pages where our congregation is featured. And of course, I read through it happily. I was the one who wrote the article and found two corrections that need to be made. One was my fault and one was not my fault. I accidentally put June of 2021 for the confirmation for Rachel Blank. It was June of 2022, so I am terrible with numbers, apparently. That was a mistake that I made. But the other thing is we had a picture of our Reformation service with both of our congregations, and we thought, oh, let's get a picture of both our congregations together. And they put the caption under there as, this is St. Stephen of the San Francisco Peninsula, our congregation. Well, it's both of us. So we know, those of us who are members of the congregation, we know that's a group picture of both our churches. Both of our churches are featured in that article. So please, if you get a chance to read it, please do so. There are two free copies available in the entryway. If you don't have one for yourself, please feel free to take one home. Any other announcements for today that I'm forgetting?
Financial reports are available.
Oh, thank you, yes. Financial reports are in your mailboxes today from our financial secretary. So please pick those up for tax purposes, if you would, as you leave today. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And